This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Thanks for coming out, everybody. Welcome to the Underground. Tonight, we're going to continue our Healthy Identity Recovery Counselor Training. How's that? That was a good title, huh? And that is what it is. You yourself are struggling with addiction, or you're working with someone that's struggling with addiction, you're in love with someone that's struggling with addiction, any of that, I really hope that this session is helpful. I'm coming from a place of addiction, you know, in my own life, and I have paid a very heavy price in my life for my addiction, my addictions, and so I'm pretty passionate about it, as many of you here are. So I just love the Underground. I love this group. I love doing this. So tonight, I have as a feature, it's a fearless inventory. You know, if there could be a working title, it would be fearless inventory. Can anybody quote step four for us? Anybody? Go ahead, Tony. Okay. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Oh, I thought it was of someone else. Oh, it's of ourselves. Searching and fearless inventory. You know, those are a couple of big words, right? Searching for the keys, like it's searching, right? Fearless, that's very different. So let me back up a little bit. Last week, I talked a little bit about where I was coming from in my own experience, you know, how I experienced being me. Like, that's what we're all here for, right? To hear about how Stan experienced being me. The way I saw it growing up was very interesting. I saw everybody, this ball represents like a very smooth rolling ball, like, or a tire. Like, just rolling along in life, very smooth, facing obstacles, right? Going to work, taking care of yourself, dealing with problems, you know, just rolling along. Very smooth. And I was always amazed watching people around me, like, look to the left, and they could just get up, have breakfast, go to work, right? Come home, have their relationships, go to bed, get up, go to work, right? That whole thing. It was very, very odd to me. How are these guys doing this? Like, how are they doing this? No cops. No big blow-ups, no divorces, right? No paranoia, you know, no freaking out, like no, nothing. It's just very odd. It was actually really, really tough looking at this. And so I felt like, you know, I felt like I was shaped, you know, kind of like this, you know. That's really out of round, right? All right, maybe not that bad. Okay, I'll just go with this. Okay, but see how this guy rolls along? Imagine this trying to roll, right? If I could get it going, it's annoying to me and others, right? Kerflop, 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 and it's like, stop doing that, right? And it's a lot of work, a lot of strain. I really experienced it this way. Very, very difficult, very painful, and it's very confusing, like being like this, being shaped like this. Well, again, last week I talked about this in a little more detail, but I discovered, and this kind of correlates with AA and Alcoholics Anonymous, I discovered drugs and chemicals. And then when I put drugs in my body, it was like, aha, I found it. All of a sudden, check me out. Now I can do it. Like, now I get it. Couple of these, one of those, little of this, not too much of that, and I got it. I can roll just like anybody else. It felt so good. I mean, it felt amazing. Like, this is what I was designed to do. Like, I really believe that. Like, physically, biologically, my body said, I was made for this, right? This is what makes me round, right? But it did something to my body. Like, my body liked it so much. My body took to it so instantly, right? My mother used, my father used. We were a using family, right, Deb? We used as a family. Like, I awoke in myself biologically addiction, right? It was like a light bulb. Boom, I'm round, right? And now I can roll, but I became a monster, right? I wasn't just round, I was really round, right? I was like a hurricane. And all my body could do was want more. That's all I could do. The moment I gave it these chemicals, I mean, the lights came on and it was more, 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 more. Anybody more? Right? That was my whole life. And so the answer, the clinical answer, a doctor's answer, like Alcoholics Anonymous, they came to a very smart conclusion. You can't ever put alcohol in your body ever again. You can't do it. You physically can't do it. Like, I can't ever physically put drugs in this body because of what this body does. The genetics, my makeup, can't handle it. I have what doctors would consider an allergic reaction, right? And that allergic reaction I happen to really enjoy. Like, it did something to me it didn't do to other people. Other people could do the same thing I was doing and go, yuck, like, make it stop, make it go away. Or they could party for a weekend and then go back to work, just start doing their thing. But me, oh, no, no, I'm just getting going, right? This train's just leaving town, right? I mean, we haven't even got to the pawn shop yet, right? I'm just getting started here. What do you mean you're going to quit? Like, we're just getting going, right? That's how I always experience chemicals, drugs. It just lit me up. So a doctor would say, Stan, you can't ever, listen to me, Stan, you can't ever put drugs in that body ever again. You will become a monster. Well, there you go. There's my answer, right? Same thing with Alcoholics Anonymous. They discovered, don't ever put alcohol in your body. No more monster. No more problem, right? So I quit putting drugs in my body. Problem solved, right? Now I'm not round anymore. Now I'm really irritated. Now I'm uncomfortable. Now I'm anxious. I'm back to where I started, but with an added twist. See, my body's not necessarily craving it, even though it seems like it. I mean, after a time, my body's past it. Just like quitting smoking cigarettes. Just like a lot of addictions, my body's past the cravings, but now my mind is driving me crazy. It's obsessed. Like, my mind is actually obsessed with what it was like to be round. What it was like to feel that. You remember how that felt? Oh, every time I would get really uncomfortable, every time I would get anxious, every time I'd be afraid, my mind would remind me, hey, remember? Remember what that was like. Remember what that was like. And it just drove me absolutely, I'm telling you, insane. Insane. This was my predicament, right? I had a lot of fear in my life. A lot of this, you could, one of these little dips or blobs, you could say, was fear. Tons and tons of fear. And I was really afraid at this point because, and a lot of you guys will relate to this, I love it when I see you nodding because I know who I'm talking to. And I didn't know what I was more afraid of, continuing to use or stopping, right? I didn't know which one was scarier. You know, if I keep doing this, that's terrifying, right? But if I quit, oh, that's a nightmare, right? So that's kind of where I was at. So being in this place, you know, I say I had fear, and I just want to kind of mention that. I had a lot of fear. I talked about a couple Sundays ago here at Journey. You know, I was looking at a picture over at my sister's house, and we're in a swimming pool, and you know, we're all little kids in the swimming pool, and And there I am on the side of the pool, holding on to the edge for dear life. Like, I'm just clinging, my neck's all strained, you know, and my brother and sister out in the pool, and I'm like, there I am on the side, completely freaked, tense. And anyone looking at that picture would say, that little dude's terrified, right? Right? That kid is not having any fun. But if you follow me around, you'd see that's how I lived my life. Like, that's how I was. I was always tense. I was always afraid. I was always, you know, not being able to trust my situation. I had a very unnatural fear of the dark. I was afraid of riding in cars for this spell of my life, terrified. But I found out, and I have discovered, you know, walking out my Christian life, perfect love casts out fear. Like, perfect love drives out fear. And it's a powerful thing I had to learn as a Christian. And I make that point just to mention it, that perfect love drives out fear from many angles. When you love someone perfectly, you know, if my wife was going to get hit by a car and me diving and pushing her out of the way, you know, I would become fearless, right? Perfect love casts out all fear. I'm fearless in my love, right? But also, it casts out fear in that when I know I'm loved, I don't have to be afraid. Like, I'm safe. Like, there's a more cozy side of it. When I know I'm secure, I don't have to be afraid, right? When you're sleeping next to a big old lion that loves you, you don't have to be afraid. Like, it drives out fear. And we could go on a lot about that. And it's been a powerful lesson in my Christian life. But you go back into your life and you discover that you have some negatives in your life, negative experiences, negative beliefs, and you have some positives too within you, right? And so in AA, or the 12-step language, we would call these defects of character, shortcomings, wrongs, right? Real negative language that we see. And, you know, we could talk about battlefield of the mind, what you think drives, you know, thoughts or drives behaviors and feelings. So think positive, that kind of stuff. We can go there. But oftentimes, like it was with me and with a lot of people that struggle, that's not really going to cut it. Right? You ever wonder why people don't change? Like, really wonder why people don't change? Especially people with drug and alcohol problems. How, like, in 6 months, if they would knock it off, their entire lives would be different. You ever wonder about that? Like, someone that smokes, chain smokes, in 6 months, their whole lives could be different. And someone that's just drinking their lives down the drain could literally change their whole lives if they could just dry up in 6 months. Like, anything like that. You ever wonder why it's so hard to change? Well, I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. And I know that with me, we have had, and I have had, deep sensory experiences that shaped me deeply. Like, while the concrete is wet, while the clay is very wet, deep impressions made in me that shaped a belief, right? And it changed me. Someone screams at you when you're a little kid, and that emotion with the thoughts and beliefs pressed down in and changes the very shape of you. Like, those beliefs and those experiences, they don't change easy. No positive thought is just going to change what I really believe inside, right? And this is what I've experienced. You know, people that have experienced one of the most damaging things that hurts us and harms us is sexual abuse. I don't know of anything more damaging outside of, you know, violence as a child, being exposed to violence, fighting in the home, seeing it, being around it. Definitely sexual abuse mars you and marks you so deep in a way. It involves so many senses, and it's such a physical and deeply personal experience that it shapes us. It's an adult activity. And when those emotions and that power and that presence is pressed upon a little bitty kid that is not in any way designed to handle that, they are going to be deeply, deeply shaped by that experience. No question about it. Violence, the same. All this kind of stuff. Neglect, all of it. And where my body may grow up, part of me definitely stays very little. And I don't know how many of you relate to it, but it's like that app you have on your phone, like the House of Mirrors, where it changes, you know, and distorts your face all around and everybody's laughing. But to someone deeply wounded in their identity, they cannot tell the difference and distinguish between a distortion and what they really truly look like. Like, I don't really know what I look like, you know, who I really am. I don't know. And we experience looking at people that do, like with wonder and amazement. I don't know about you, but I've often looked at people that can do this with wonder and amazement. How do you do that? You know, how do you go through life and not just blow it up, right? Things are going good. Isn't it time to just knock a bunch of stuff off the counter and flip the table over, get arrested, freak out, empty your bank account, go on a binge? Isn't it about time for that? Like, how are you doing this? Like, you're stacking money up in the bank. You have people that actually trust you. Like, how are you doing it? And it really blew me away. It's been something that I think about quite a bit. So I began using to deal with how uncomfortable I felt in this shape. I began using to deal with all the things that I felt like I was missing and to make up for it. And it really, really did the job for me way too well, in fact. And it became a bigger problem than my original problem, without a doubt. So now I carry two problems, right? Now my mind's obsessed with using and what it was like, and my body can't handle any of those things, and I'm shaped like this in the first place. So what I do is I recognize my body can't handle chemicals, or for some, my body can't have any alcohol ever again. I got to know that. I can't put alcohol on this body ever. I'll have a reaction to it that'll ruin my life. But now my mind's obsessed with it. So I have to come to the conclusion that I am powerless. And my life has become unmanageable. Right? But I believe. I believe there's a God in heaven. I believe there's a God that's running this universe right now. And he runs it really well. He's really, really good at it. Let's just take a moment and enjoy God running the world. Just listen. This world is turning pretty smooth. Listen to this. If I were spinning this earth, you would hear a lot of friction and thump and be coming off the tracks. Half the world would be getting burned. Oh, God, my bad. No, sorry. He just has perfect. Sometimes I just stand outside and go, man, you're just really good at this, running the world. Thank you, God. That's our Sabbath. That's the point of the Sabbath, where we rest and we recognize I'm not running the world. You are, and you're really good at it. It gives us a lot of confidence. So then I come to the place, I'm powerless, but I believe there's a God that's a genius. He's a genius, and he loves me. He loves me so much. I come to this place. I got to come to this place. It's a conclusion you come to. You're not doing anything. You're concluding something. Can you come to this conclusion? And if you haven't yet, what would it be like to conclude that? What would it be like to consider there's a genius God who's running the world, and he happens to be very fond of you, right? So then, if you can do that, see, if God's not in charge of my life, if he's not God, that kind of leaves me, right? And that's not good. So I come to the conclusion that the only sane move I can make is I take my beautiful life and my will that God has trusted me with. I can't trust my body. I can't trust my mind. So I'm going to make a genius move, right? Check out my chess game here. I'm going to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. This is his beautiful plan. It's got adventure, mystery, and I put it in his hands. I close the door, right? And I shut it. And I back away. And for the first time in my meth-using, needle-using, pill-popping, absolutely insane life, for the first time, I go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Like, thank you, God. Right? It's off of me. It's not in my hands anymore. Get it away. Get it away. It's in the beautiful hands of a powerful God. Look at that. Look at my life and will in his care. Check it out. Shines. Shines. Right? I had it all buried in the snow when I passed out, right? Check it out now. I check it out now. And at this point, the writers of AA came up with something I believe is inspired. They came up with an amazing step four. Now, at this place and at this point, we make a searching and fearless inventory. What do I got? What am I working with, right? This is awesome. This is a really... Now, I'm not signing on the dotted line, I'm going to change any of these things. No, no, no. That's not the deal. The deal is I'm just going to do an inventory. I'm just listing them. I'm not saying I'm changing it. I can't... If I could change it, I would have done it already. I'm just listing it. And that's something really, really important, right? And you guys, I've heard some stuff. Sarah, some really awesome stuff coming out of them this week in step four stuff, wisdom, real rubber meets the road work being done. And you guys could talk amongst yourselves about the best way to do this, because it's got to be from God to you, right, Tony, right? Very personal stuff, step four, right? And some of these things, you look up AA inventory, download it, whatever. Some of them are huge. Like listing who did something bad to you, what they did to you, how that affected you, right? I mean, some of it's overwhelming. The first time I saw it, I was like, I'm not doing that, right? That's creating anxiety, and that's why I use in the first place, right? I don't want to do this. Some people begin with putting a plus and a minus on a piece of paper, and they just start listing pluses and minuses in their lives. That simple, right? My wife and I did something this week that I would highly recommend for those of you who are brave, is I just put a plus and a minus on a piece of paper, and I gave it to my wife and daughter, right? And I reminded them they need me. And I says, give me three positives about what it is about me, and give me three real negatives. I need them. Like, go ahead, bring it on, right? Give me them, right? And we did that with each other. You want to hear some real powerful stuff? You want to come face-to-face with some stuff? Like, have one of your real good friends, your sponsor, someone that really has to be around you a lot, have them write three positives and three negatives about you. And I'm telling you, it hit hard. The only way I could deal with the three negatives that they told me was the three positives, the little bit of sunshine, you know, right before the kick, you know, right in the groin, you know, really hurt. It really hurt, but it felt good because my heart said, you know what, that's so true. You are that kind of jerk. Like, you do have that. You have it. Admit it, Stan. Admit it, right? And so I love it, like coming face to face with how others experience me, right? And I wouldn't have came up with that one, but boy, they all did. They did, all of them. Like, I've done this with other family members. They've all reported being hurt by me the same way. I'm like, no, God forbid. No, this has to be true. They can't all say it. And I needed it. Now, it's not just negatives. There's positives too. And we've got to know that. That's part of the inventory. Really, really important. I believe that each one of us, every single human being, I really mean this, has a superpower. You hold within you a superpower, a supernatural ability that when you do that thing, everybody steps back and goes, wow, I don't know how they do that. But I love it when they do. Like, wow, God has given you that. That is so true of every human being. I can back that up with scripture. You have a super power. No question. A lot of warfare that you face is definitely wrapped around keeping you from discovering that superpower. No doubt, right? So, it says a searching inventory, but it also has another word, fearless. Fear. I've never done anything fearless in my life. It took courage. Not really. So, how are we going to do that? If someone comes at you with a bunch of negatives about you, like the natural tendency is to get defensive. Now I'm defending. Now I'm bringing up my list of who did what to me, when, and how it affected me. That's what I'll do. Oh yeah, well my uncle, you weren't there when my uncle did this to me and how this affected me. Like now I'm defensive. I'm actually reading off my list in a way instead of being honest about my end of it, my side of it, right? So for me to do this fearlessly, I need a little more information to be able to do it. And this is where you get that information here at the Underground, ladies and gentlemen. For three easy payments of $19.99. Just kidding. And that's not all. Okay. So, again, if my life and will are in my hands, I know my life is going down in flames. I know it is. Guys, it is. If it's in my hands, it's going down in flames. I don't know when. I don't know how. You know, maybe I can hold it off for a while, but eventually it's going down in flames. But the coolest thing is, as long as it's in that beautiful place, in the hands of a royal, beautiful, all-powerful, very wealthy, very beautiful king that happens to love me, right? As long as it's in his hands, the sky's the limit with Stan Bourne, guys. The sky's the limit. Who knows what he's got planned for me? Like, who knows where he's going to go with me? As long as it's there. I mean, that you talk about hope. Right? You talk about hope. Something happened when I went to the cross. When I took myself to this cross, he took all the bad of Stan Bourne, and he gave me all the good of himself. Like he took it all on. Come on, bring it on. Bring on all the bad. I mean, this is our fearless, this is love casting out all fear. Talk about fearless. This is the one who is love saying, look, bring it on. I'm going to take all the bad, every bit of your bad, and he took it on himself, and then he's going to give me all the good. I think that's a great, great deal. When Jesus went to the cross, what he became was something so mysterious, so intense. I'm not talking about what we experienced. I'm talking about what the scripture says is true, and we have a choice. I'm either going to believe it or walk away and say, nah, that can't be true. Because it's not in my experience, but he says this happened, right? When he went to the cross, what he became, it says the whole world was covered with darkness. And if you would have went up there with a flashlight and shined it on that cross, you would not have recognized him as a human being. Because he became sin. He became my sin. He became it. Yours, mine. He did it. He became it. He took it all unto himself. Where were you when he was hanging on the cross? I'm going to tell you where you were. You were within him. He was holding you. He was holding my out of round self. His love held me to him on the cross. You're in me, Stan, and I'm in you. You've been joined to me, and we're doing this together. Me and you are united. I'm telling you right now, you won't get in salvation, what he died to give you, if when you see him on the cross, you don't see yourself up there too. You got to see yourself up there. I look at the cross and I see me. The old me that produced all these coping strategies, all these coping mechanisms, all these ways of reacting that I go to, the guy that produced that hung on the cross. And he imparted to me, I'm telling you, he imparted to me back and gave me, like a seed dies, we died with him. We were buried with him. And then a new little shoot rose up out of the grave. And he imparted to me a brand new identity, just like this. He gave it to me. I'm risen with Christ. It's a mystery. Spent a lot of time thinking about it. When he died, you died. When he was buried in the ground like a seed, so were you. And see that new birth. See that new little shoot coming up out of the ground, a brand new identity, a brand new person, a brand new creation. Scripture calls this the inner man or the inward man or the new man. Right here you are, brand new. And I wanted to tell you something. This new identity that you have has no defects of character, has no shortcomings, has no wrongs, is fearless, because you are a daughter of God. This new identity, I'm a son of God. I've been brought into a new family. This is a powerful thing. This is a powerful thing a lot of people miss. So when I receive this new, when I receive him, guys, we just did this. When I receive this, I receive him within me, right? When I drink the blood, where does it go? This is what he wants us to get. Like, I'm within you, right? You're receiving me. When I eat something, it becomes part of my body, becomes part of me, part of my energy, part of my source. This is what he's saying. Jesus stood there in the middle of a bunch of people and said, "Eat me." He did. And they all walked away like, whoa, you know? But he's saying, feed on me. Take me within. That's life, right? So when people experience this, oftentimes it's a feel good. It's a wow. I'm a brand new person. I'm a son. And you know what they do? This is where they go wrong. I don't need a step four. I'm a brand new person. Get out of my way. Bam, I'm out of the program. I don't need it because I now have this. I'm a new creation. Now I'm going to go tell the world, get out of the way, right? And they get a 50-pound Bible and they go to save the world, right? But I do need a step four. You know why? Look at where he's living. Right smack in the middle of all this stuff. Everything I remember. All my haunted memories. All the ways I haven't grown up yet. All the things that happened to me. My fearful little boy hanging on in the swimming pool. You know? He's still there, guys. He's still there. He's still there. That's why I need a step four. But now he's given me the ability to be fearless. Because it's not me. I have now joined Paul in Romans 7 that says, it's not me, it's sin living in me. It's not me, it's sin living in me. I want to do what's right, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong. I do it anyway. I've just joined Paul, and now I have a conflict within me that now I got to deal with. Isn't that cool? So now I've been empowered because I stand in this new place of love and acceptance. My new identity is just like being adopted into a family where now I'm secure. Now I'm really important because of who I am. I'm in the family of God. Like, I've been brought into a royal family. That's now who I am. And now I get to deal with this stuff that's still in my house. Now I can look around. Now I can be fearless. What's that? Let's look. Turn that over. What's behind there? Open that door. Now I'm fearless. Why? Perfect love is driving out fear. What's in the way of me loving my wife? Let me see it. Turn over the table. Open that door. Let's see. Dig that out. Clean that out. I'm fearless. Why? I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm a son. It's not who I am anymore. And I got to know that. I heard a story of a lady this week who was sitting down, not here, not in any of these groups, okay? But she was telling these ladies that whenever her mom would get really mad at her, like, she's like, I used to love to keep my bed made perfect and my room nice, my dolls in a little row, and I just had this neat little room. And when my mom would get angry, she'd run in my room and mess it up. Knock stuff over, mess the bed up. And it really, really did some damage, right? And all the ladies together went, oh, man, that was cruel. And when she heard their sympathy and their feelings and their broken heart, she felt their love. She said something just healed. Like all of a sudden she knew it was okay to go, that hurt. It was okay to go, man, that was mean. You know, and she just felt so healed and so loved. That was a sensory experience that now changed her. See? That's not positive thinking. That's a sensory experience coming against a sensory experience. That now I'm feeling loved. And how she was able to share it was because now she knows who she is. I'm coming out. And I'm going to talk about what's in here. I feel loved and supported. I'm going to go ahead. And if it's shareable, it's bearable. Right? If it's not shareable, it's not bearable within us. We can't do it. And this is where the miracle, just the genius of the 12 steps comes into play with that kind of interaction. Because you're seeing steps 1 through 3 deal with my relationship with God. 4 through 7 deal with me, fixing me. And then 8 through 12 deal with my relationship with others. And you see it come together in a meeting like that. Boom! It becomes a lifestyle of recovery. And you see it in the 12 steps. And see, he knows I need a step 4. He knows I need to challenge and grow within me, right? Because, look, God could right now go like that and I would be muscle bound. Just all of a sudden, you know, lats, big old bicep. He could do it. Big neck, right? He could do it. Just bam. But he knows in 6 months, I'm going to be back to scrawny little guy. You know why? Because I'm a scrawny guy here. And he knows that. He could heal me just like that. He could bring me into a mansion, give me money, cars, relationships, just like that. Put me in a nice house with money and all I need. And he knows in 6 months I'm going to be in the poorhouse. You know why? Because I'm a crackhead right here. He knows that's what I'm going to do with anything he gives me. So he knows his work in my life is going to be from the inside out. So he can begin to bless me. Like, look, I can give Stan $50. Wow. Like, look at that. Easy. Don't make it 60. He's not there yet, right? And he begins to grow inside and take up more and more space. More. And the more space he takes up, the more I'm the me he designed me to be in the first place. The more I'm really, truly me, not less, right? So in so many ways, you know, we lift and exalt leaders, and we love great leaders, but God's really looking for followers, guys. You want to be a great leader? Follow him. Like, follow him with all your heart. Now, real quick, I want you to know the biggest mistake people make, and I do it all the time, and I hear it in people's language, when you begin dealing with defects of character, when you begin dealing with wrongs, when you begin dealing with shortcomings, is the biggest mistake people make is when they're starting to look at him, I am my wrongs. I am my defects of character. I am, all right, I am my cravings for meth. I am my porn addiction. Because you're looking at it, and it's easy to think that's me. And we've got to go back to do a proper inventory. The best inventory you can do is say, I'm a brand new person in Christ. I'm a brand new creation with this stuff. Go back and remember who you are. Go back and remember that exchange. And then go back and do some more work, cleaning up the house, turning over some stuff, opening some drawers, taking a look around, but with your support team. Now I'm going to show you really quick. I always make myself a little vulnerable here. Can I get, Dave, could you come up here with me real quick for a second? Just stand next to me. How about you, Drew? I don't usually have guys come up that are better looking than me, but, you know, sometimes I don't have a choice. You know. Just no one take a picture, okay? But see, here I have my two brothers, and just I want you to know that the scripture says to put on the full armor of God. And I don't know about you, but I know that the only people that put on armor are warriors. That's what that's made for, right? And I had enough of church stuff where, you know, the guys with the shiniest armor, we all know they're the ones not fighting, right? They're not doing anything. They're shining their armor all the time. Look how shiny I am. Well, it's like, you know, we need to key each other's armor tonight. Like, come on, get dirty. Dink. You know, let's get in the fight. It's not perfect anymore, you know? Bam, let's rough it up, right? So when I get along with God, guys, I'm a son of God, guys. I'm a warrior. I see my helmet. I see my forearms. I see my knuckles, right? I'm bad to the bone, right? I'm armed. Got my sword of the Spirit. These guys are fully armed. Fully. I can see it. They got armor on, right? I don't have guys standing this close to me that are going to drag me back down, right? Like, he doesn't have a crack pipe on him, right? Like, he's with me. He sees it, right? So we lock arms, right? Let's lock arms. These are my buddy, my warriors. You guys my warriors? You got my back? I'm scared. You got my back? Because I'm afraid. But we're going to do this, and we're going to do this together, right? All right, ready? Here we go. I'm going to reach down. You with me? Let's reach. Let's reach. Let's reach. And I'm going to pull this little boy out of the pool. And I'm going to grab this little frightened boy, right? And we're going to surround this little boy with a neck. And he's all scared. And I'm going to say, dude, you were scared, weren't you? Back in that pool, right? You were frightened, right? You remember that? I know how scared you were, okay? And you got to talk to this boy. We're talking to this boy. I've done this with men around scenarios in my past, super embarrassing scenarios. And these guys said, let's get around this and just stay right there, Stan. That's you as a little boy, and you're still trapped. And we surrounded this little boy, and we began speaking over this. And we began saying, hey, look, I want you to know, you're scared in this pool right now, but look at me. Look at these guys. See the armor? Check it out. This is who you're going to become. And you're not going to die in this pool. You're not going to die anywhere in the dark. You're not going to die in a car accident next week. You're going to grow up, and you're going to be me. You're going to be a powerful guy. God has stuff for you. Okay, you're going to rock. Don't be afraid anymore, little buddy, right? Let's love on him. Let's love on him. Let's love on that little boy. God loves you. I love you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you, little boy. You don't have to be afraid ever again. I'm with you. You can grow up. You're going to be a mighty man of God. We got you. Now heal, little boy. Heal, little boy. We got you. You can grow. You can grow. Spirit of God is on you right now. Spirit of God is on you. Set you free right now. No more fear. You're fearless. Boom. Just like that. Boom. Free, be free. Freaking awesome. Thank you. hard for men to do that. Women do it real well. They just do it. They know. They could do it. I do these exercises with Glenn and she's just right there pouring it on. You know? Men, we struggle with this. Why? I'm way bad now compared to what I was. I've had long talks with my little boy self and all these wounds and these garbage things and big powerful men in their armor. We go around and go, hey, no more. No more bully. Get back. We're men of God. Royal sons of God. You see where my life and will are, huh? Be afraid. Be afraid. Right? Be afraid because now I am no longer powerless. I want you guys to know something, that there are things in our lives that every single day we get hammered on. And there are voices that come over us. Some of you have had ritual abuse in your family, where you have had your parents come to you and break your soul, hurt you, scream at you, holler at you, abuse you, do harmful things, say harmful things. And I want you to know it's familiar. And familiar, when they say familiar spirit, that's family spirit. That's family. And we break that right now in the name of the Lord. You know why? You're in a new family. And in this new family, this is the family of God, guys. This is a tribe. It has no end. This is the Ancient of Days, guys. I don't know if you get a picture of the tribe you're a part of, but it is bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Our King is someone so awesome. Walks in this room, if he just showed up for 1 second in a manifest way, we would all drop to the floor like, whoa. And we'd all be crying and shaking because of the presence of love so pure and awesome in this room that he has for each one of us. This is our King, guys. This is our battle cry. And I want it all over my life. I want it all over my inventory and my past and these situations. I don't want to be afraid anymore. Some of you experience rejection so deep, fear so deep, and we give it permission when I say, that is the family I'm from. That is my familiar. No more. Not in this family. Not in this family. No more. No more. So let me just pray. And you guys can close out your song. Thank you guys for letting me go a little crazy tonight. Father, I just pray over this room. And I just pray right now that we would no longer accept the familiar abuse. The voices that are coming from hell itself. The voices of some of our parents, some of our uncles, some of our friends, some of these past voices that we now are allowing to speak into our lives, and we allow it to be a truth. I pray you would just root it out, pull it out, just extract it. It is no longer allowed. It is no longer allowed. We are members of the family of God. And anything that is not of love, anything that is not about my union in this family, my place at the table, has got to go. I pray against ritual abuse. I pray against anger being pressed into people. I pray against rejection. I pray against fear. I pray right now we would all have the courage to no longer give these voices permission to speak into our lives, because we are brand new persons in Christ, new creations, and we have become fearless. 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 We want to see. We're fearless. And we do it because we're together on this. Raise up brothers and sisters here that are fearless in each other's lives, to speak into each other's lives, to pray over each other, to go to these places. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you a just like you promised. You came here to stay. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the water. Stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you goodness so great, I can't understand. And dear Lord, I know that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. Your love loosed my chains, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water. Stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied. I felt Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without you, I'd never be whole. Savior, you opened all the right doors, and I thank you. I strove to remind you that for those tears I died.
Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you all. I love you. We'll see you next week.